Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you guys doing here?
What are you doing here? Wait, are you doing a podcast right now?
Welcome to the Robin Holly Show podcast.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Rob. Good to see you.
You too. You too. I was just jamming out to some new tunes, a bunch of new tunes. Like all this stuff's coming real fast, I feel like, one after another. It's awesome.
Yeah, you would think that nobody's been out touring for the last year and a half. They've been stuck in studios, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever thought that too much music would be, it's such a good problem to have, isn't it?
Depends who you ask.
Yeah.
I think some of the record companies are really struggling right now with everybody wants their new song out now, you know. So.
Right. There is a lot of great new artists that are out there, and you are working with them, with Breland, yeah. Of course. And when it comes to up and coming artists like that, how did that come about? Did you just see him and were a fan of him already, or how did that whole thing work out?
I got hip to him maybe the end of 2018, somewhere around there. A friend of mine had told me about him a little bit, so I knew a bit of his music. But then I read an interview with him somewhere online, and it was a really great interview. And it was that interview that I immediately thought, oh, I got to know this guy. There's something about the way he approaches music and creativity that really speaks to me. He's very, just very open and creative. And I would love to see what happens if we got in a studio. So I got a hold of his number and just instead of just sort of freak cold calling somebody, I texted and I'm like, hi, Breland, it's Keith. And then I wrote in parentheses Urban, because it's a weird thing when you go, it's Keith Urban, you know, like, ta-da, yeah. You know, but you can't say it's Keith, like Keith who. So yeah. I just said, I would love to have a chat sometime. And the next thing I know, we're on the phone talking, and we talked for, I don't know, 45 minutes about music and everything. And he was down in Atlanta, Georgia. And I said, man, it's been great chatting with you. Anytime you're in town, I'd love to maybe get together. And he goes, I'll be there Friday morning. And I went, great. Would you have any time to come over? And he goes, no, I'll be at your house Friday morning. I'm like, oh, this Friday? You know, yeah. And it was
didn't waste any time.
It was so refreshing for someone to be like, let's go, let's do it. You know, and God bless him, man. He came up. We got in the studio and we wrote, and we just clicked. We just clicked. It's great.
That's awesome. Yeah, I did see. He was talking about his side of the story a little bit too, and he was like, hey, look. This is Keith Urban. This could be a once in a lifetime opportunity. So I'm showing up at his house. I'll be there.
He lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and he said, "What time you want to start on Friday morning?" And I'm like, "I don't know, 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. Is that too early?" He goes, "No, it's great." So I said, "Great." So about 9 a.m., my phone rings, and I'm like, "Hello." He goes, "Hey man, it's Breland." And I said, "Oh, cool. How you doing?" He goes, "I'm in your driveway." I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, there was no traffic." And I went, crap, you didn't drive from Atlanta, Georgia. It's like a 5-hour drive. He goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, I drove from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm here. Let's go. And I was like, I love this guy.
Well, you know what? I think there is it's a great story, but I think if I want to say like 95% of people who got a text from you that said, hey, it's Keith Urban, let's work together, they'd be driving straight to your house too. I would anyways.
Yeah, I would drive to someone's house in that situation exactly the same way. But it's not, you know, I love people that do that, that have that work ethic. It's very cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is that how you started as well, as being super punctual, like ready to go when opportunity arose? Can you tell us, did you have that mindset in the beginning?
I was willing to do anything. So the harder I work, the luckier I get, you know?
Yeah.
Just like that. Yeah. That's what my dad always told me. Just, you know, get in there. My dad always said, just say yes to anything. Someone says, can you drive a forklift? Yep.
Yeah.
And then like figure it out really quickly.
What is it? It's kind of like if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
Like just start and then you can figure it out. Can we talk about Taylor Swift, right, by the way? Because I'm a Swiftie. Mm. And the song is so good that she has you on. The songs, I know those too. Yeah. My favorite is That's When. Oh, like, it's so good. Can you tell us how... Does she text you, this is Taylor, and then in parentheses Swift as well?
She's very fortunate to have a one name.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think Taylor Lautner's texting me very much these days.
No.
She texted me, yeah. It was around about Christmas time, and I was actually Christmas shopping. And I get a text from Taylor. She's like, hey, it's Taylor. I'm working on a couple of these new songs and I'd love you to sing on them. Do you want to hear them? I'm like, yeah. You know, so she texted me these songs and I sat in a food court at the shopping mall that I was at. I kid you not, because we were in Australia and everything was open there at the time. And so I just sat in the food court with my little AirPods in, listening to these two unreleased Taylor Swift songs. And just sent back, yeah, I can sing on these for sure. So it's very cool. I love the fact that she was doing unreleased songs as well.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, me too. Can we talk about Wild Hearts too? Because this one you co-wrote with Jennifer Wayne from Runaway June. Mm. Can you tell us about how that write went? Where were you? What were you thinking? What were you drinking? I always think hit songs are written over water, we're finding out.
Some. Certainly all of mine are these days, but back in the day. Somebody Like You was not written over that, let me tell you. That's a whole other story for another time.
No, we want to hear that story as well. Okay,
we'll go. I think we have plenty of time.
Yeah, wait, we got time. I got a timer going. Can we hear the story? With your giggle, I have to hear it.
You can't turn back on that story now.
We were talking about Wild Hearts, and now we're talking about writing Somebody Like You, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's start with Somebody Like You, and then we will go to Wild Hearts.
Yeah.
Well, this is back in 2001, I think, and I flew to LA to write with this guy called John Shanks. I've never met John Shanks, don't know John Shanks. Somebody suggested we should write. So I'm very nervous about writing with someone I don't know, and I'm in LA, I'm very nervous. And so I thought, before I go to this writing session, I'll go swing by the Irish pub. And so I swung by the Irish pub at 9 a.m. and had a pint of Guinness, and that was really good, so I had a second one. And that was even better. So I had a third one, just to be sure. And then I went to my writing session and I walked in there feeling fantastic, just very about good. Everything. Just like, yeah. And I walk in and John had this little drum beat, this little gallopy groove thing. And I had my six-string banjo and I pulled the banjo out and started playing that opening riff. And he's like, oh, that sounds really good. And then I just start singing the chorus of the song. And then we sort of wrote the song and got everything done except the verses. And I took the work tape home to my hotel room and proceeded to just like demolish this bottle of Crown Royal and then wrote the first and the second verses of the song. And woke up the next morning very bleary-eyed and went, that's not a bad song.
That's great. I mean it's funny because we always have that when we came up with this, we get the behind the songs, we always ask those three questions: where were you, what were you thinking, what were you drinking? And we're finding out that the majority of songs now, especially now that it's become
coffee and water,
more well, it's more of a business, right? You like set up a time to write in the morning in Nashville on Music Row or whatever it is, and it's less of a I guess like a in your situation,
the romanticized
at that time,
version it wasn't of like what you think.
A
yes.
hobby, yeah. Right. But in our heads, it's like, oh, you were, hanging out, like you said, in LA, got drunk at a bar, went and wrote a hit song. Like, that's a great story. Love it.
Okay.
Yeah, they come from everywhere. But so Wild Hearts was actually a song that Jen, who you mentioned, Jen Wayne, and Brad Tursey from Old Dominion and Eric Pasley had written. It's called Wild Hearts. And I got sent the song. As a pitch, like, would you want to record this song? And I listened to the song and I liked it, but it didn't get under my skin. It didn't sort of speak to me. And so I passed on it. And about a week later, I woke up early one morning with that chorus running in my head. And so I went back and listened to the song again, and I thought, gosh, that's a really, it's a really good song. Like that chorus is freaking, that's a good chorus. But I realized because it opens with the verse that the verses that they had didn't speak to me. They weren't, it wasn't that they were bad verses, they just didn't speak to me. So I called them up and I said, this is a really, this song, what the song says to me, it's about my journey from Australia to Nashville, when, you know, it's about, that was my dream, and I've been following that dream ever since. And I think, can I rewrite these verses so that they're more personal? And they said, yeah. So they sent me the track with no verses and just the chorus. And I sat at the table and had some coffee and thought, well, you know, where did my musical journey begin? And immediately I thought about when my dad took our family to see Johnny Cash when I was 5. And there's no doubt that was the beginning. So I wrote Saw the Man in Black, Spotlight in the Air, Heard a Thousand Screams, Saw My Dad Stare. Because I remember even at that age, all those things were just like, man, when you're 5, the screaming of people, I'd never heard that. This big spotlight, I'd never seen that. But then the way my dad looked at that person on stage was like, I'd never seen that stare in my dad before. And I was probably curious and jealous of that person on stage. You're like, how does he get that stare? So I wrote all that, you know. I feel like I've been running since the day that I was born, eagle on my back, phoenix on my arm. And then the song became much more personal, and that's how it got written.
Man, that I is love so that. Cool.
Do you have a favorite line of that song, or is it hard to pick a certain favorite lyric?
Certainly, I mean, all the verses are pure truth for me. Mm-hmm. Particularly, you know, has anyone ever told you'll never amount to anything? You're just wasting your time chasing the tail of a dragon kind of dream. But I'm here to tell you anything can happen in this life if you've got the heart and the passion and a God-lit fire inside. That's my truth, top to bottom. But the favorite line for me, and I don't know who wrote it because I don't know who wrote what in the chorus of that song, but my favorite line when I was listening to the song was, can you hear me, all of you lost ones who aren't really lost ones? When I heard that line, I was like, oh my gosh, I've heard plenty of songs talking about, hey, all you lost ones out there. You know, I've heard that before, but I've never heard someone follow it up with, hey, you lost ones, you aren't really lost ones. I was like, I love this song. This is so, so inspiring and so uplifting. And it was wonderful and so inclusive. So I just, whoever did that line, I'll find out who did that line. It's a very good line.
The whole song is good and poetic and just, and I agree, like so inspirational.
And it's an anthem. It's an anthem. It's something to get fired up about, something to, you know, get re-inspired and motivated with as far as, you know, the whole last year or so. I think a lot of people went through some tough times, especially artists and musicians.
And road crews too, you know, they've been doing it so hard because we've been able to stay a bit much busier than a lot of our crew family out there.
Yeah. So it's cool to have something like that to get motivated to get back out there and do it.
Yes. Yeah.
You are so good at collabing with artists. Is there somebody, here might be a better question. Someone who's passed on that you would like to collab with if they were here for just a day?
You know, that's a good question.
Is it a hard question?
No, because actually, to a large degree, that's what inspired us writing the song called Coming Home that was on Graffiti U, which opens with a Merle Haggard guitar lick from Mama Tried. And so Merle is a songwriter on that song, which is kind of crazy. We were at a BMI dinner one year here in Nashville, and Vince Gill was up on stage talking to everybody in the room, and he was talking to the songwriters, saying to them, hey, listen, you know, all of you young, new, hot writers right now, don't forget about a lot of the older writers that are still here and are amazing and can bring valuable things to a writing session. And I started thinking about people I wished I could have written with, you know, Waylon Jennings, Merle Haggard, like all these people that are gone, and would have been amazing getting to write with them. And I suddenly thought, if I took a riff or a sample of a Merle Haggard song into a room, that would be the same thing as Merle showing up saying, oh, I've got this guitar lick. Should we write something with that? You know, so it was a way to create with someone who wasn't even alive anymore. So mm-hmm. coming home was, you know, a bit of what you just talked about, that sort of posthumous collaboration.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I really like that. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for your time and loving the new tunes, man. Timeless music from you, man. It's all great.
Thank you so much.
Because he's Keith Urban.
Thank you, Holly. Thank you, Rob.
All right, take care,
buddy. Get some hang time with you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Holly Show podcast. Follow us at Rob and Holly Show and listen weeknights on Odyssey Country and the free Odyssey app, AUDACY.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.